It gives me great. It's an honor for me to introduce this person. She's always got a smile on her face. She's always warm-hearted, and she's just a cool person. Angela.
Hi. Thank you for coming. I'm super excited to be up here. Took 14 years, but here I am, finally. Yay. So I want to speak specifically. I think it's Matt, Lance, and Anthony, the newcomers. I want to really do my best to hear my higher power and get out of the way so that you can hear what you need to hear for today. So, all right, first things first. So this was written within the last 3 weeks after Raquel asked me. I was just like researching and writing and looking in the book and doing all this stuff to really get what I wanted to say. And I realized that I'm so much more of an alcoholic than I thought I was. It was really trippy because I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this, that, and that, and that. And I'm like, yeah, that. I mean, it was really overwhelming, but it was good because it really got me into this place today to show me that I'm part of this crowd. I'm part of this stigma, and I'm proud of it because it's brought me so many good treasures today. And so first of all, I want to thank my higher power for giving Raquel the idea to ask me. Thank you. And my sobriety date is June 4th, 2009. And according to the app on my phone, I have 14 years, 5,288 days, and a bunch of hours. So, yay. Yeah. So I'm establishing a home group with the 10 a.m. women's meetings that meet here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's good for me because it's always changing. So I'm not, you know, just doing the next thing that I think I need to do. I'm constantly asking my higher power what it is that this needs to be about, this meeting that I'm here at today. So my sponsor is Judy Gabriel, NAG. She's my 11th sponsor. So I've had 11, which is a whole other story with men and relationships and, you know, the pull on them and trying to do the indicated thing, but not working for me or not working for them. So it just shifted and changed all through my years. But she's the longest one I've had. So it's, you know, I'm not doing anything, but God's doing something, and I'm learning how to clean out my ears and listen. So I'm grateful for that. So last week when Sal was speaking, I know he wants to hear his name from the speaker. I was reflecting on this hope sign. And I was like, you know, this is such a program of hope because it's not about what we do or what we learn or what we can, well, I'll say me. It's not what I can learn or what I can figure out or what I can write down. It's what my higher power wants. So I continue to just keep going forward because my higher power has so much more in store for me than I ever could have imagined. You know, I was, you know, so confused and so lost and so wrapped up in myself. My ism was loud and proud. I, self, and me ran my life for, you know, most of the days that I had before I came here when I was 30, 40. I don't know, when did I come here? 14 years ago. Yeah, 42. Okay, so anyway, the key word that I use today is that this is a us program because we're doing it together. The things that I do for my sobriety are going to affect everybody that's in my hula hoop, in my lifespan. And that's the grateful thing that God's given me today because I feel like I fit in. I don't have to try and conform myself to fit inside what you think of me, or what you think of me, or what I think of me. I can just relax and just gel into what my higher power is doing for me. So that's the great thing. So, I have the ripple effect of knowing that my intentions are going to enhance your intentions. So the relationship that I developed with my higher power came out of the life that was unfolding for me when I walked into the rooms of AA. I felt a sense of belonging, even though my covers were being pulled. I still felt like I belonged. People were reading my mail, you know, saying these things about themselves. They didn't know that it affected me also, but I knew it did. But we were all welcoming each other. We weren't like turning away and running out the door and saying goodbye. So it's really been an eye-opening experience to know that, you know, my God is just doing so much for me that I couldn't do for myself. So I know that if I only do my program half-heartedly, then it will affect all those people that I'm talking with today and being with today, because it'll show up in who I am. And like Marcus said, you know, I usually have a smile on my face, because why shouldn't I? Because God is doing so much more for me than I could do for others. So I want to be a representation of that, because my ism can get me really under the table, where I'm depressed and, you know, downgraded, and I don't feel like life has given me what I should get. So what it was like is I was born in Utah to a scared teenage girl who was raising her brothers and one sister. I came along and joined the group. Now we were all fighting against the norm together. The norm in Utah was very strict, and it didn't cater to my mom's family, which was sex, drugs, and alcohol, and all those things. So we tried to go the other way. And for me, even though I was little and I wasn't doing those things, the ism of alcoholism was running my life, the I, self, and me. So I just realized when I was writing this how much my obsession was controlling my life. The obsession of wanting to fit in, wanting to feel like I belonged, that the variety of just being a person was not helping me. So I wore the suit of being a victim. You know, all the things from my past, from when I was a little girl, you know, I would tell them, but I would wear them, you know, all this stuff happened. So it wasn't helping me in being a human today. You know, I had the voices inside my head screaming, you're not adequate, you know, you don't matter, no one cares, you're never enough. So in the big book in chapter 5, it talks about that the main problem for the alcoholic centers in their mind. And as I researched this and I wrote this stuff out, I realized that that's where it is, because I'm always thinking about thinking, and it gets me more and more down in myself. So I was growing up a little bit, went into elementary school, and then I had an obsession of hurting myself physically to erase the feelings that were happening in my heart. So in the big book, it talks about the man who continually hits himself on the head because his foot is broken and his toe hurts and whatever. He is just trying to do this stuff so that he can't remember that he's in pain somewhere else. And so that's what I was doing to myself and all throughout elementary school. And, you know, I don't really talk about this to anybody because it's not fun bringing up the past, but that's what speaking to others is letting my truth be known and knowing that we're a like-minded people. So I tried to minimize the abandonment and the anxiety of my childhood by doing those physical things. But the feel-good emotion was so twisted up with the pain emotion, because the pain emotion was my medicine, because I could never feel in control of who I was. I didn't really have family members that were around me. They were off doing their own things. So all my feelings I pushed under the rug and tried to erase how I felt. My mom was 6 months pregnant before somebody realized she was pregnant, so they sent her away to school and she had me far away. So I grew up in that shame of her being pregnant, let alone having a child. So, I mean, but it's not bad, it's just what it is. So, you know, I've learned to be okay today because that's who made me who I am. So it's actually a good thing. I can look at it today and it's just what my higher power uses through me to talk and be with other people, because, you know, life is not roses and rainbows and all those lovely things. There is stuff that happens and it's okay. That's why we're in this together. I learned from a young age that, you know, life is full of unwarranted circumstances, but I don't have to feel out of control. So I kept continually thinking about how to be in control, what you're thinking, what they're thinking, so that I felt like I belonged, but I never did. I always felt like an outsider. And then when I was 16, my aunt took me to lunch and told me that I was an outsider. My mom never told my birth dad, so the father that I grew up with, my sister's dad, wasn't really my dad. And so when I found that out when I was 16, it just sent me into devastation. And, you know, I just kept burying those feelings and putting them behind me, because it was hard to keep being excited about life. So now I turned to alcohol and drugs, and then that's where it ended, because I don't remember hardly anything that happened. I just know that I was a garden variety drunk, which is like pretty much everybody around here. So I, you know, was drinking and smoking and doing all those things. School was my opportunity to fit in, as long as I was doing those activities. So it's funny how it ended up. So my mom decided she didn't want to be my mom anymore, so we had to go live with our dad. So it was pretty depressing for me. So I started drinking and smoking, and then I would take that into my house. And my dad was a big smoker, and he was like, well, we're going to have to, you know, smoke pot together and, you know, do the cool thing. And that just totally grossed me out, you know, because I wanted my parent to be a parent and look at me and help me live this life right-sided instead of, you know, trying to escape from it. So what it was like years later after school and everything, I had a bunch of things happen to me, but I ended up marrying an alcoholic, and that was a horrible hell. My ism was getting bigger and bigger because I was always focusing on everybody else instead of on me and what I could do for me. He was spiritually, physically, and sexually abusive all through our 10 years, but I was seeking something else. So that circumstance helped me to realize that there is something out there that wants better for me than this. So I just started to keep on looking for what I could get. So now, let's see. So after I left my husband and I was trying to live on myself on my own, it took me a year of living on credit cards, and I became homeless and bankrupt, which sent me into a women's shelter. looking for how I could help everybody else, you know. And then God was tapping me on the shoulder, telling me, it's not about them, it's about you. You can only, you know, do what you need to do for yourself. So, being at the women's shelter for over a year was helping me understand that, you know, there is a God out there and I'm not it. So it was uncovering who I was, and I was grateful for that. I did endless counseling. This is really depressing. Like, this isn't fun stuff to talk about. It's like all those panic attacks and things that happened while I was trying to get better, but my self-obsession was just consuming me more and more. So I had to start taking antidepressants and doing those things. The I self in me was still running rampant. But once, so then I finally got into AA because I wanted to help everybody else. You know, my mom was a drunk, my dad was a person that did drugs, my sister drank, you know. I had all this family-ism, my aunts and uncles, but I could never look at myself. So I got into AA. I cried endlessly for the first couple of years, but I felt like I belonged. And it was like glue, you know, that stuck me in that seat, letting me know that God has a plan for me and I'm not it. So let's see where we are. I began to rely upon a higher power, my higher power, the one that I have, not who everybody else has or what they think I should have, but the relationship that I discovered when I came into these rooms, which is why I'm here today to express what my higher power has done for me and how I get to escape that obsession of the I self in me. So what it's like today is that my brain is constantly always spinning because I'm still trying to find that control. It's scary to think that it's not out of my hands because I have a choice every day, you know, to do what God wants, or I get a choice to do what I want. So today I want to choose what God wants for me today. And so I use this, the FROG acronym. I don't know if people know it. It's fully reliant on God. And so that's why I brought my little frog. And it helps me remember that, you know, life is about being fully reliant on God, because it's not about me. It's not about what I can do or how I can get there. You know, I have a sob story, but it's not dwindled me. It's made me bigger, because God is the one in control and God is the one stretching me to know that this isn't about me. And, you know, it's a bummer that I had all this yucky stuff to tell you guys, but it's also good because then you know my truth and you know part of who I am, and then it gets us to be more of a we program so that we can continue walking this road together. So one of the things that's really helped me since I came into AA is having that tool chest. You know, I used to think of it like a little bag I had around my waist, you know, and I would just pull out these little things every once in a while. But now I have, like, because my head does pictures and stuff all the time, I have like this big tool chest, you know, like one of those pirates' chests where you have all the gold falling out. And that's how I think when I go to meetings, or when I read the book, you know, when I seek with my heart, with all my substance, I want to find God's will for me, not my will for me. So I continue to rely upon that treasure chest that God has given me, and know that He's continuing to open things up inside of me. And so just telling a little story about how I got here. And so Raquel asked me, which was really great, and I was really grateful, but I was I was like, wow, you know, 14 years and I've never really talked. So I'm going to be able to say something to people, and that's a good thing. And then a half an hour later, one of the pastors at my church called me and asked me to give a testimony at church. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, that's like God's saying something to me. So, you know, I'm just grateful today that I'm learning how to take the blinders off and open my eyes and not be afraid of the fear being my umbrella, you know, living under that umbrella of fear and anxiety and chaos and all those things that want to continue pulling me down. I can stand up and say, I'm a victor over this, and I'm loud and proud for what God wants to do in me and through me, because, you know, this is the place that He's planted me, so I want to be faithful and flower it out. So, so you know, I appreciate that you guys are here and that I'm able to be real with my feelings, knowing that, you know, I don't have to conform or fit. You know, when I was growing up, I would just joke about always feeling like I was a square peg, always trying to fit in a round hole, you know, and that I could never mold into somebody's lifestyle because I didn't belong. But now today, I can proudly say that I do fit, because my higher power is doing so much more in me than I could do in myself. So there's three takeaways that I wanted to express, and I didn't read them, but I wanted to read them. So the three takeaways that I wanted is, number one, my focus is my higher power. And knowing that this is a spiritual program, and that if I don't continue to rely upon my higher power and trust my higher power, which means having faith, then, well, that way I can have my higher power rule my life and me not do the ism of wanting to get somewhere in my frame of mind instead of my higher powers. So that's my number one takeaway. Number two is, thinking about thinking is what destroyed me, but the action that I learned in AA saved me, because it's a program of action. And what we can do today, you know, even if it's just showing up at a meeting and just listening to other people, that's all I can do, but that's okay. Because, you know, God has a purpose and a place for everybody doing their own thing. And that's what I hang on to today. And then number three is being fully relied upon God. Because God is doing for me so much more than I could do for other people. So I know that I'm not safe from the obsession of I, self, and me. So today, one of the tools in my tool chest is being friendly with friendly people. People that know my name, people that will call me or listen to me, or, you know, check in as I check in on them. It's like a relationship where we keep going around. You know, what I give out is what I'm going to get back, and it just keeps on going. And that's one of the great things that I have in my toolbox that will help me know that I'm going forward, and it's all about what my higher power does in me. And I know that this is where I should be today. And that's one of the things I learned from, like, I think it was my fifth sponsor. She said, you know, it's not about getting somewhere in AA. It's about being present right here, right now, because this is God's plan for me today. So, and then I was just going to share a little anecdote that happened when we used to live in Orcutt. So that was about 5 years ago. And I thought I was working a really good program and I was doing all these really good things. But I also knew that moving was my MO, because when you move, at least when I moved, I would change my circumstances so I could change who I was. and then people wouldn't really get to know me. And even though I was going to meetings and doing these things, it was with different people. So I was kind of being fake. And so that was for, you know, like the first 5-6 years. And then when we, right before we moved to Orcutt, I was like, okay, God, I don't want to do this moving, running away from myself thing. So I'm making a vow with you that I will do it differently this time. And that's what my higher power gave me, is an idea to do it differently. So when we moved to Orcutt, you know, this was our third place of moving in our marriage, but I made a vow that I was going to put my legs, my pants on my legs in the opposite order. So in the 12 and 12, it says, you know, put your pants on the opposite leg so that you can be doing something different from the order that you normally do. So this is what I did every day for a year. I put my pants on the opposite leg. Even if I would start to do my normal right leg, I would take them off and put them on my left leg, because I wanted God to know that I mean business. I said I was going to do this, and I didn't want to go back on my word. I wanted to be a person of my word, and that's what I learned here. You know, stand by what I say. Stand. Yeah, so it was really good. So it, you know, it continued to raise me up and to encourage me to, you know, be right-sized and live okay in who I was today. So that's what AA is all about, is that spiritual change, knowing that the higher power is the one in control, letting my yes be yes and my no be no. You know, I've done a lot of things in AA, and I haven't done a lot of things, but I've done the things that I need to do for me to be here today. You know, circumstances don't always turn out the way that I want, but they turn out the way they are. And that's what I can count on today for what my higher power has for me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. God's timing is so much better than mine. And I'm done.
Very good job. Thank you. One more hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah.